Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, and Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, lowly and sitting on a donkey, the colt of a foal donkey." So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and they set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down branches from palm trees and spread them on the road. And the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" And so the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." The prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. He was more than just a man. He was a king. He was a king. The first part of this passage, I really don't have a message to. Well, I sort of do. This is the first time that Jesus ever allowed, the only time really, that he ever allowed a spontaneous response to who he was. And all the other times he was trying to tell him, keep it down. And he couldn't always keep it down, but he was telling him, "No, don't tell anyone, don't." This is the only time where he didn't lift a finger to stop them. And you might say, why? Why is that? Well, it's because of their words. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 is that verse that I read to you, that he shall come riding on a foal. He'll come riding on a donkey, on a foal of a donkey. And he, when he did, he was proclaiming that he was the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that he was the Messiah. And the people shouted. It's hard to put into words, but they were shouting, giving shouts of praise. Hosanna means save now. Hosanna to God in the highest. Save now to God in the highest. They were shouting and save now. Praise God. They were giving their praise to God. And it was in their actions too. You know, when the little kid said that they laid their coats down for him, and just by way of, just so you'll know, it's not just a random thing. They did it once before. And they said, "A lie, tell us now." So he said, thus he spoke to me, saying, "Thus says the Lord, I have anointed you a king over Israel." This is Jehu. "Then each man hastened to take his garment and put it under him on the top of the steps. And they blew the trumpet, saying, Jehu is king." Jesus wanted them to know. It was time for them to know that he was king. Look at Matthew chapter 26, verses 1 through 3. You see, let's read it first. "Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these sayings that he said to his disciples, 'Know that after 2 days of Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified.' Then chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas. They plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. But they said, 'Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people.'" This happens during the feast. Not It happens. Jesus died on Passover. He was killed on Passover. The scripture from John chapter 1:29 where John says, "Behold the Son of God who takes away the sin of the world." The Son of God who takes away. Behold God's Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. It's the Lamb of God. They couldn't even get the not killing him right. They couldn't get killing him right. They couldn't get not killing him right. They couldn't get none of it right. It was all in God's plan. It was all in God's time. It was all, God did it. God did it. He did it for you, and he did it for me. People were shouting and singing and praising, and he did it. I wonder why they tried to kill him before. John chapter 7 verse 30 says something to the effect of they tried to take him by force. They tried to take him, but no one laid a hand on him because his hour had not yet come. His hour had not yet come. On this particular day, this particular Passover, his hour had come. And he let the people spontaneously proclaim who he was and to show who he was. You know, I thought about this. Billy, the first question is for you and me. Could the people in our church be allowed to be spontaneous in the worship of God? Have we programmed the spontaneity out of it? I understand there are certain people, right? You don't know that well, but I look around in here and we know these people pretty well, and we know them. What would keep you from being spontaneous? Amen. Now I have a question for you. Me, Billy, you too. When was the last time your relationship with God demanded some spontaneity? When was the last time your walk with God demanded that you be spontaneous? Could you? Oh, could you? I'm asking myself that. Could I let you? And could you be spontaneous to the Lord? Over in Luke chapter 19, this is all the Gospels giving an account of Jesus coming, and his triumphal entry is started there in Luke chapter 19, verse 28. And then in verse 41, it's immediately following. Remember, everybody's praising. Everybody's just praise God. And some of the Pharisees, 4:41. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and he wept over it. He wept over it. You know, two times the Bible says that Jesus wept. One time we all know is when Lazarus died. He wept. Jesus wept. It's a verse we quote all the time. Jesus wept. Well, let me tell you something. There was one other time that Jesus wept. And it was on that donkey as he approached Jerusalem. And he looked down on the city and he wept, saying, "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace. But now, they're hidden from your eyes. Even now. I wonder when Jesus looks down upon us, does he weep? Does he weep? What about your spontaneity? Does your walk with God demand it? Praise be to God. I'm going to ask our men to come forward at this time. We are going to have the Lord's Supper today. And I want to say that while we partake, that if you are here, you're born again, you're saved, you've repented, then you are welcome to take it with us. Scripture declares there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and you are welcome to. The cracker represents the body of Christ that was broken for us. As they were eating, Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he gave thanks. And he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take ye, this is my body." He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which was shed for the remission, for the remission of sins." If you'll stand up with me, stand up with me if you would. It says, "I will not drink of this with you till the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So let's sing a hymn together. And together we'll sing, but individually, you make a decision today. What will you do with the body and the blood of Christ? Will you repent and believe it, or will you reject it one more time? Repent. Come forward. You come.